Morning, Rabbi. So, our final session on haircuts, and today is Chof Hei Mar Cheshvan. And about Chof Hei Mar Cheshvan is Shloshim Yoim Koidem, Chof Hei Kislev coming up, Chanukah B'Shotoim Uzlacha. So, tomorrow, B'Lieda, we'll start looking at Hilchas Chanukah being Shloshim Yoim Koidem Achag. Today, Agav, by the way, I just wanted to mention, is the 11th. Today is today the 11th, I don't know whether you call it an anniversary, of the massacre in the Kiryas Bnei Torah in Har Nof. That was 11 years ago on Chof Hei Mar Cheshvan. Those of you who remember Avraham Shmuel Goldberg, Zichron Levrocha, he lived here in Lisai Crescent, and he was a Mespala in Eitz Chaim, and he was one of the Kedoshim, who are the four people who were killed on that day. And then there was a fifth one who died later from his wounds. And Shem Yim Kodomon, Kodesh Baruch Hu should give them a lechtig Gan Eden. Okay, so just to mention a couple of final points to do with haircuts. Not going to go into shaving, because shaving is a completely different nissa. Shaving is nissa of loisashchis, whereas payas is nissa of loisakifu. Loisakifu means you've got to keep the shape of the payas, and they've got to be visible, and that's why it has to be a certain length. Shaving is a different question. And I'm not going into that at the moment. Maybe another time we'll carry on. It's also in Simon Guf Be'alef in Yeridea, but later on, the second half of the Simon. Just one final point, and that is that there are some people who are noig that they tuck their payas behind the ear, or that they do them up as a sort of a curl and a knot, etc., and they store them above, just above the ear. And there are others who have the payas hanging in front of the ear. The Kilas Yaakov, the stipler, was makpid, and he told his children that they should wear their payas. They had literature payas, but nevertheless they had to wear them in front of the ear, not behind. And it is said that Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was makpid that when people came into him, that they should put their payas in front of the ear. The argument being that if you tuck your payas behind the ear, then you don't really see them. You don't have the shape of the payas, which are supposed to be halfway down the ear at least, or the whole way down the ear, we said we learned the various jitters, and therefore you wouldn't see them. You see a young boy, for instance, and if he has his payas tucked behind his ear, then he could look like he hasn't got payas. It almost looks like sakifu.
It's got to be the length, but it's there.
Yeah, it's there. That's the argument, obviously. That's the argument. Yeah, the argument is the payas are there. He hasn't cut them. They are there. He happens to be tucking them behind. And these gedolim, the stipler and others, they're makpid. They say that, no, you should actually be able to see that the payas are there. And therefore, I think in Brisk as well, they're very makpid that they keep the payas right in front of the ears so that you can see that you're not over the ears of loisakifu.
Sure. Started at Torah Way, Northwest London, Sunday, Chof Hei Cheshvan, 16th November. Rabbi Moshe Baruch Ketanka Shlita, when left is right. This week's Torah was sponsored by families Klein and Mendelssohn, Chvet Simonson of Eli Klein, Neriyoa, and Leah Mendelssohn. Shetichia Chasta takes place in Mitzvah on Thursday. Yirotzen Shiv Nebais, Neimon, Yisrael, Lashem, Yisrael, Velit Nishmas. Our founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov, Ben, Rab Shimon, Michoel, Tzvi, Itzkovitz, Zichrono Livracho.
Thank you very much for Zuchus again to speak. Start the day the Torah way. I don't know if I said last time, but if I did, be moichel. Remez, the start of the day, the Torah way, mina Torah minayin. We go to Shachris every morning. Shachris, Shin, Ches, Reish, Yud, Sof. So the first person who gets into Shacharis is Shin, the Shamash. He comes in, he unlocks. And then the next person who has to come is the Ches, the Chazan. He's got to make sure he's by the Omud, ready to daven. After the Chazan, we have the Rav. He's the Reish. He's got to be there before everybody else. Then Yud come in, the Minyan, to daven.
Yehudim.
And after the Minyan, the Yud, the Minyan, to finish davening, Tof, which is the Torah way, which finishes off the Shachris. Our Shachris is the start of the day, the Torah way. Now the title is When Left is Right. We'll see exactly how much of the shir is exactly about the title. But the title is When Left is Right. The Torah says in Parashat Shoftim, Al pi haTorah asher yiruchah. We have to listen to that which we're told by Chazal, by the Rabbonon. Person mustn't stray from that which we've been told, not to the left, but not to the right. Famous Rashi says, even if they say, Al Yamin Shu Smoil, Al Smoil Shu Yamin, even if they say the right is left, or they tell us that the left is right, we have to listen to what they tell us. Now, obviously, this is difficult to understand. The left is the right, and the right is the left. And the Mefarshim have got different pshatim in how to explain. Afilu yom elocha al yamin shehu smoil, al smoil shehu yamin. The Kerem HaTzvi, where Tzvi HaShverba says, you might go to the Rav, and you'll tell him you're a lefty, and you want to know how to hold your lulav and esrog. So he'll tell you, well, normally a person holds the lulav in their stronger hand, and therefore a right-handed person holds the lulav in his right hand. Because you're a lefty, you hold the lulav in your left hand, and which means your weaker hand is your left, is right, and you're holding your left. The next day, the same fellow goes to the Rav, and he's got a bar mitzvah boy, and he wants to know what hand his bar mitzvah boy puts on his tefillin. So the Rav will tell him, well, one second, which is your stronger hand? So he says, my son's hand, the left hand, is stronger. So he'll say to you, yeah, which hand does your son write with? So he'll say, well, actually my son writes with his right hand. Oh, he writes with his right hand. That means for tefillin, it goes after the Ramah holds at least. It goes after the ksiva, ksavtum, ksharton. And therefore, since he writes with his right hand, his weak hand is considered his left hand, the gabi tefillin. So he'll go to the Ramah and say, what do you mean? Yesterday you said, weak hand is my right hand, now it's my left hand. Al pi ha-toirah, asher rucho. If they tell you left, they tell you right, you just listen to what they say. That's the Kerem HaTzvi. The Paradis Yosef. Now, the Paradis Yosef is something I never really looked at. I had heard of them. About a couple of years ago, I went with my brothers to lodge Beis HaChaim. And they found, I think in 2019, they found at the back of the caver of the lodge Beis HaChaim, they found a small matseva, which said on it, Rabbi Yosef Pashanovsky, the Paradis Yosef. He was a Gera Chosid, he was in the Lodge ghetto, and he was Zoicha, at least to Kvura, and he had a very small matseva. And I must tell you, it was absolutely freezing there. Absolutely, I've never been so cold in my life. It was absolutely freezing. I'm sure if he wouldn't be buried, he would be frozen. It's absolutely freezing there. Anyway, so I saw the Paradis Yosef, and ever since then, I've taken a bit of an interest in the Paradis Yosef. Now, the Paradis Yosef is Sforim al Torah, and I always was under understanding that the Sforim were all written by him himself, by this Rabbi Yosef Pashanovsky. But it comes out, it's not so. He only managed to print Bereshis Shemois and Lech Lecha, and then he was killed in the... Sorry, Bereshis Shemois and Vayikra. What did I say? Bereshis Shemois and Vayikra. And then he passed away. And after the war, others completed their Eretz Yisrael. They completed Bamidbar and Dvarim based on the same style that he'd written his Sefer. His Sefer is a bit like the Meshech Chochmah, interesting diyukim ala Torah, and then sometimes it goes really off the point. It's always beautiful, interesting pieces. And if you ever get a chance, take a look at the Paradis Yosef. The Paradis Yosef says like this, Afilu yoyme al yamin shehu smoil, al smoil shehu yamin. He says, sometimes you find in the Gemara a drosha with a shin. The Pasuk says, for example, the Pasuk says, Meirosha kehilas Yaakov. And the Gemara makes the drosha, Al tuki meirosha, elamoirosha, with a sin. On the other hand, sometimes you find the other way. You find aser, and Chazal say, asher, b'shul shetis asher. So you find a sin, which the Chazal made a drosha of a shin. So on this, he explains, Afilu yom lecha al yamin shu smoil, al smoil shu yamin. Even if there's a drosha, and this drosha is a shin which makes into a sin, or a sin into a shin, whatever, Ashkola sheyagizu lecha, and accepts what they say, al yamin yamin, al smoil shu smoil, yamin shu smoil, al smoil shu yamin. Now, truth is, this is really an excuse for me to say one of my most beautiful Betlech, I love saying over this Dvar Torah. It's my own chiddush. So if you like it, good. And if you don't, so you don't. But I'm the one to blame. The letter Shin. Fascinating. I think it's fascinating anyway. The letter Shin. There's the word Shin, Shino, it has three meanings. Shino, of which Shin is part of the word, Shino. Shino either means to sleep. Shino can also mean to learn. And Shino, a Shen, is a tooth. A tooth is a Shen. The three words, to sleep, to learn, and a tooth. In fact, we're coming to that in a second. That's the shtick of the thoughts coming out already. In fact, the letter the word shin is the root for three words. Shino, which is to sleep. Shino, but shinantom is to learn, right? And shen itself is a tooth. Now, in fact, the letter shin itself, if you look at how the shin is written, it looks a bit like a tooth. It's got like these prongs. Shin is a bit like a tooth. I was thinking to myself, what's the connection between these three random things? Sleeping, learning, and the tooth. What connection does it have? So, we once at a Shabbos event, I'm sure it happens when you go to a Shabbos event, like a hotel or something, and Motzei Shabbos normally is like the main speaker or the main event, and by that time, Motzei Shabbos, by the end of the May, the whole Shabbos, and the whole a seat or whatever it is in a hotel, and the place looks absolutely completely in a mess and disarray, and everybody goes to bed. And the next morning they get up for davening, and the whole place is settled, all tidy and all been sorted out. And you think to yourself, how did that happen? Who sorted all this out? And the answer is that throughout the night, I was sleeping, but the hotel wasn't sleeping. They were busy throughout the night sorting things through. When a person is learning during the day, his mind is very busy. But he hasn't got the time to settle his learning. His learning is all, he's been through so much. It's during the night time when a person's sleeping that his subconscious brain is chewing over all the learning that he's done during the day. And then in the morning, everything is settled, everything is all sorted. The word shin, as you were saying already, means to change. It means the chewing. The shinantom, Chazal say, sheyiyu divrei Torah mechudodim b'ficha. Mechudodim b'ficha means a person chews over his learning until it's so fluent. Al tagamgim v'tomrei miyad. He understands. He's so fluent with his learning. So these three things, the letter shin, is the shino, the learning, the main shino. But the shinul of the learning, the going over of the learning, the settling of the learning, that takes place when a person's asleep, that's when the Torah he's chewing over his Torah, his brain is chewing over the learning, chewing over the Torah. That's all the connection between these three words, Shino, Shino, and Shino. A third and final pshat on this posuk, I heard once from Rabbi Falken Gateshead. I think he said it from Nachman Landinsky, who was Rosh Hashiva in Gateshead a long time ago. And he said a beautiful thing. He said, if I'm standing in front of you, so I have my right is on this side and my left is on my left side. But for somebody else who's facing me, it's the other way around. Your left is my right and my right is your left. He says, Chazal sometimes tell a person to do something and to him, in his perspective, they can't understand. How can it be? It doesn't make sense. To them, to a person, to the shoel, it looks like the right is the left and the left is the right. But often it's just about perspective. And really, if we had the proper perspective, which is what the Rav Chazal give us, we'd understand. What we see as right is really left, and what we see as left is really right. A moshul for this, something I saw quite recently in one of the papers, actually, in the Tribune. I think it was an article about Yonos Steif from the Gedolim in America. It says he was on holiday once in a small Kehillah community, and they were leining Kriyas HaTorah. It wasn't a very pronounced community. They were leining Kriyas HaTorah, and they found a mistake in the Sefer Torah. And it wasn't one of those, that some say yeah and some say no, and it's a machlokes. This was something which was explicit, clear, nothing to talk about. So they called Rabbi Yonasan to the Sefer Torah, and he said, carry on leaning. Carry on leaning? How can you carry on leaning? It's psul, explicit psul. So after davening, they went to him and they asked him, how could you say carry on leaning? What do you mean? So he said, listen. He said, there was only one Sefer Torah in this shul. Now, if I would tell them that they have to not stop leaning, you can't lean from the Sefer Torah, what would the Olam have done? They would have gone to another Beis HaMedrash and brought the Sefer Torah. Because there's an Erev in the town, that they think there's an Erev at least, but it's not an Erev at all, not even a questionable Erev. You held it was not an Erev at all. On the other hand, if you have a mistake in the Sefer Torah, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, what you've leaned already, your Yotzer, but you have to take another Sefer Torah out from now. That's Bemis is a Machalokas Rishonim. The Rambam holds, where the Sefer Torah, which is Pasul, but Etzem, you're not Yotzer, the mitzvah's Ksivas Sefer Torah. You can't be Yotzer, the mitzvah, Sefer Torah, you're not Yotzer. But Kriyas Sefer Torah, you're Yotzer. So he said, of course, I told him to carry on leaning, because this was the better of the two evils. We'll be so much on the Rambam, we'll carry on leaning, rather than be over the Issa if I'd saw. It's an example of Alimin Shu Smol, Al Smol Shu Yamin. The Chazal tell us the correct priorities and how to balance things, the correct perspective to balance things out. I want to just share with Olam, Me'inyan Le'inyan really, something Rabbi Falk would mention. He actually mentioned it at one of the big siyumim in Gateshead, a big, very big event, and he felt this was a big michshol. So I wanted to share it with the olam. And I don't think this is something which is subject to dispute or machloikas. These are dvarim mefaroshim. A person comes home at night and he has supper. So he has on his table, he has on his plate, he has a piece of chicken, he has some rice, and he has some peas, for argument's sake. So he's got mazainas, ha'adoma, shahakol. Before that, really, he has some soup. So he has some soup, makes a shahakol on his soup. Then he has his main course. And then maybe he has something for dessert, his piece of cake, which he'll make mazainas on if he hasn't made yet. And then he'll make brocha achroino, hamichya on the cake, make brain of foshes on the other foods, shalom al yisrael, off he goes to daf yomi. Shabbos, it's not like that. Shabbos, we start our Suda with bread, make hamotzi on bread, and then we have a number of courses. Maybe you have the first course, a whole machlokes, if you do, don't make a bracha on the fruit, whatever it might be. Then one has soup, no bracha on the soup, because it's patted, we have a din. That's something which, something which is part of the meal, bread meal, and it's eaten the sphere, etc. There's no bracha on the soup. The main course, of course, we know there's no bracha. It's patted by the bread. If you have a bread meal, food doesn't need a bracha. And then the dessert, well, there's a bit machlokes. It depends if it's fikunuach, if it's mezainus, what exactly it is. Sometimes you do make a bracha, you don't make a bracha. Depends if you're, what your custom is on dessert. And then on benches, and patters the whole suda. Rabbi Falk would say that the worst thing a person can do in Hilchos Brachos, apart from saying Bachalom, which is a person who said doesn't say a bracha at all, Bachalom, just says the word very quickly, but apart from that, obviously, a person says the brachas properly. The worst thing a person can do, he said, is explain in Simon Kufayin Zayin. The Mogen Avraham in Simon Kufayin Zayin, Shabura also brings it down, beginning of the Simon, Mogen Avraham in Sivkotin. Shabbos of Cotton Gimel, I think Morgan Rom is of Cotton Base. Morgan Rom says something which is not so well known. Morgan Rom says that the din, that pas poite kol mini oichlin, if a person has bread, patters the whole Suda, it's only if one has a kazayas of bread at the beginning of, before eating the other food. It's only if it has a kazayas of bread before beginning of the Suda. That means, for example, a person, especially in Nogiyah on Pesach, and people have matzah towards the end of Pesach, and the taiva for matzah is weaning, as lovely as matzah is, but another matzah is hard. So often a person has, makes hamotzi, little bit of matzah, little bit of bread, and he eats it, and he starts nibbling on the bread. And he goes straight to the soup, or then the main course, whatever it might be. It comes out that when he made hamotzi on the bread, it pattered the bread. But Magen Avraham says it doesn't pattern the other foods, which means that the soup needed a shahakol and didn't get a shahakol. It means the potatoes needed a hadoma, they didn't get a hadoma. It means the berekas needed a mezonos, they didn't get the mezonos. If he normally makes a bro, yeah, you're right. Why is having berekas on Pesach? Good. And if there's any ho'eitz that needs a bracha, you can have some of those. Knedlach, he's having knedlach, without not in the soup. You can get them, man. So all these food items, he hasn't made a bracha. He hasn't made a bracha rishon on them. He's ate even without a bracha rishon, because he didn't have a kazayas of bread before he ate them. Then what else? So that's all these three, four brachas he's missed out. Then what happens at the end of the Suda? He benches. Now the din is a person can't bench unless they ate bread. What's called eating bread? You have a kazayas of bread and matzah. This fellow didn't have a kazayas of bread and matzah because he nibbled on his bread. It took him an hour to nibble through the kazayas. So he hasn't had the kazayas bechtei achilas pras. He's not, therefore, mechuyev in benching. And off he goes. Shamalis is fine. But the Rabbi Sain of Orech, and then if he's had a zimun, all of the brachas, has on. Then he has brachas ala koil, noidrucham. Then he has Bnei Yishmaim. And then he has Baruch Hatev HaMeitiv. Four brachas. Those four brachas were completely batalah, because he didn't have a gazayis, but the achilas pras. So therefore we're up to eight. Now, then how does it go after that? He'd say, again, so what did he do? Sorry, it's my train of thought. 1 second. So all those food items, missed our bracha. And instead, the benching was bracha batala. Also, the bracha achroin on those food items. He didn't make a bracha achroin on his chicken, and he didn't make a bracha achroin on his potatoes. And if he had berekas, or he had fruit, he didn't make alamichya. Almichya or Bernefoshes, he hasn't made. So he's missed out also on Almichya and Bernefoshes, which takes us somewhere between 11 brachas missed out.
This bread that he has to eat before he eats the other foods.
Yeah.
Is that a kazayis b'achilas pras as well?
Yeah. I mean, he has to make sure he has. Well, otherwise, he had a kazayis throughout the Suda, took him 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, for now, but he hasn't had kazayis techilas pras. Morgan of Rom holds, passes any poeta if you have kazayis techilas pras. That sort of shtels avet, this is a Suda's pass. By having a kazayis techilas pras, that makes this Suda's pass, and all the foods are pattered. If a person doesn't have that kazayis at the beginning of the Suda, then all the other foods are not pattered. He didn't have pachta brocha shoyna, he didn't make brocha chroyna, plus the benching was all of atolo. Important to be aware. There's another additional problem with this, which is not so well known. Pras. Huh? Yeah. How long is the Achilles Pras? That's a machlekas. Some say 2 minutes, some say 4 minutes, some say nine. We come to it most on Seder nights, where we're machmir for the biggest share with the smallest amount of time. Whatever it is, even on Yom Kippur, you know, we say for shiurim a person has to have it or at least 10 minutes apart.
Nine.
Yeah, so the 9 minutes would be Techilas Pras, we'd have it probably more than nine, yeah? Whatever, 10 minutes or so to make sure that you avoid it. But even here, I mean, the most kula dikashita would be, again, make sure that kazayis is eaten at least within 9 minutes, that it's not nibbled and more than that. Interesting, there's one more point here in Simon Kuf Nun Ches, in Hilchas Netilas Yadayim. Beginning of Netilas Yadayim, there's a machlekas. How much do you have to plan to eat in order to make Netilas Yadayim? It's actually the Mishpura brings in Sukkot and Yudalef in Simon Kuvn and Ches. Then is, if a person has less than a kazayis of bread, there's no chiyuv at all, machlekas at least, there's a chiyuv Netilas Yadayim. A person takes less than a kazayis of bread, machlekas, mechlalef, there's a need to wash hands for this bread. Even if he has a kazayis, but till he has a kabeya, which is halachal, which is negev for tumas oichlin, which Netilas Yadayim is all part of the the sugya to Masayichle. So therefore, Tiri has a kabeya is a sofek bracha in the Tiris Yadayim. So if this fellow, he washes, and he has the kazayis more than Techilas Pras, so the bracha was a bracha of Atala from the Tiris Yadayim. Even till a kazayis, even till a kabeya, which is kabeitz is two kazayisim. Even till a kabeya, which is two kazayisim, as a sofek if a person should make a bracha on the Tiris Yadayim, if he hasn't had a kabeya, which is two kazayisim, worth of bread to chasuda. So in fact, although the Mogen Avraham, which is discussing this whole cheshbon of brachos Teicha Suda, says one has to make sure to have a kazayis at the beginning of the Suda to make sure that all the other foods are tafel to the pass. But in truth, one should actually make sure to have a kabeitza of bread. That kabeitza actually, 1 second, the kabeitza itself doesn't have to all be eaten Teicha Teicha Pras. You can have a kazayis Teicha Teicha Pras at the beginning of the meal, and a kazayis Teicha Teicha Pras at the end of the meal. That doesn't have to be both kazeitzim together, which makes a kabeitza in one go. That you don't have to have. But it's important, at least ideally for sure, based on Nechos Netilis Yadayim, that not only one has a kazayis, teichtias pras, at the beginning of the Suda, to make sure he avoids all those brachos issues, 10, 12 brachos issues, it's also important to have sach hakol altogether, a kabeya, which is two kazayisim of bread, somewhere during the Suda, in order to have a definite chiyuv Netilis Yadayim with a bracha. So the nekuda, this is really what the bottom line of this is, really, one can say, a bit of a kvetch, that this person, the left over bread, was not right, because he should have really eaten his bread altogether at the beginning. Yeah. On this point, there's another interesting thing about kazayis. Yeah, really interesting. In Simon Kuf Samach Zayin, there we know when a person makes a bracha, any bracha, he mustn't talk, be mafsik, between the bracha and the achila. Now the question is, what's called achila? What's considered an achila? A person puts food in his mouth and hasn't swallowed it yet, can he already start talking? So the din is, if you look in Simon Kuf Samach Zayin, exact maramokim after just a quick check, Kuf Samach Zayin. There's maybe Kuf Samach Zayin, let me just find it. I think here you are. Kuf Samach Zayin Sivov. So the Mishnah Berurah says ideally one should swallow. But yeah, but I think if one person puts it in his mouth and started sucking already, but yeah, but you wouldn't make up a new bracha. Lechatchila, person shouldn't talk. He'd have had a kazayis. Now the Mishnah Berurah adds in Sivkot and Lamed Dalet, interesting. V'shaloi b'mokem adachak. It's very, very important the ladies know this one. Shaloib mokem adachak, toiv shayechel mitchila shir kazayis. Ideally, one should have the whole kazayis of bread before talking. Not just on Lel Sukkot, people are mapped about it because they want to have the kazayis, you know, to fill a mitzvah without talking to the mitzvah properly. And Shabur here, Sikot and Lamed Hei, Kuf Samar Zayin Sikot and Lamed Hei, he said, Lechatchila, Shaloib shasadchak, where possible, a person should have the whole kazayis before talking. Now why is that? So the truth is that the method comes from Machzis HaShekel. Machzis HaShekel is a spin-off of the Mogen Avraham, and it seems that he's talking about there's certain chashivos when you learn these halachas. The first perusa of pas, the first slice of bread, the first kazayis of pas seems to have a big chashivos to it. There's halacha, unknown halacha, from cut to slice of bread into challah, the first piece one has, the Mishnah Berurah brings the end of the simon, Kuf Samach Zayin, one shouldn't give it to a dog, to an animal, one shouldn't give it to a goy, to a state. Kuf Samach Zayin at the end, Mishnah Berurah says, Shloah Kodesh, but Tzivkot and Sadi Zayin. Kos of Ashloah, Shigam Yigat Yeshai, a person should leave over min a process hamritzi, the first cut of bread, you should leave a little bit to eat Shayechel Ahachila. So at the end of a Suda, a person should finish off by eating a little bit of the process hamritzi. Process hamritzi, the part of the bread, the person made it cut off first when he made a bracha, that certainly has a certain kedusha to it. Kadesh Yeshua Tamritzi Bepif, so the taste of hamritzi should stay in his mouth. Ein Lahachla Behemoth Oif, a Lekutim of process hamritzi. Person should not give that part of that first bread on which he made the bracha, that kazayis, that prusas amoisi, he should not give it to a bird, an animal, or to a kuti. Yeah? So that's part of the halacha. It's certain chashivos to the first slice, so not so unknown. And therefore, the Machzor Shekel says, ideally, one shouldn't talk till one has eaten the first kazayis, because there's certain dinim that apply to this prusas amoisi. The truth is, based on what we've said, there's another reason why a person ideally shouldn't talk before he had a kazayis of a moitzi. And that is to ensure that this major concern, which Rav Falk considered the worst, the biggest concern in Hilchos Brachos, and it's not a subject to dispute, it's a forum of Roshan, which is not so well known, and a person could easily forget it because he's busy with his Suda, to be aware that by a person not talking till he's finished the first kazayis, he makes sure that his yaitz is kazayis, his arn is achilas pas. Now all the food that he has techa toda are patted. Bracha shoyna, bracha chayna. He's definitely mechiv benching because he had a kazayis techa pas beginning of the meal. Ideally, you'll have another kazayis at the end, which will add up to a kabeya, and then he won't have any al until he's to die. Issues that would be an ideal. But at least this is something one should be aware to make sure not to leave it over. To make sure that otherwise that really won't be right. So just to summarize a little bit about the left and the right, we spoke about Piatera Shiarucha, Afiru Yomlucha, Alimin Shu Smoil, Al Smoil Shu Yomin, and a few Pshatim. We said the Kerem HaTzvi says Pshat is that sometimes the Rav will tell you you do it with your left hand, sometimes the Rav will tell you to do it with your right hand. Piatera, he's got a Cheshbin, it's all worked out. There's a whole Sefer B'chaim Kanyevsky on Itayad. Pesach Kron actually has also a beautiful Chiveres in English, if it, one of his bar mitzvahs, about Itayat. Kuntzeliezer, yeah. Beautifully explained for lefty all the different halachas. That's the Kerem HaTzvi. We spoke about the Paradis Yosef from Lodge, and how he says, Asher, it's a drosha from the sin to a shin, and on the other hand you have Meirosha, Atikim Meirosha, El Meirosha, shin to a sin. Even if they say Yamin is Smol, Smol is Yamin. We spoke a little bit about the letter Shin, how it looks like a tooth, the word Shino, Shinon, Vashinantom, how a person at night time he's going over subconsciously, chewing over his learning till they're Mukhtad and Beficha. We spoke of Rav Landinsky, who said Pshat, that even at Yamin Shu Smol, Smol Shu Yamin, sometimes it's all about perspective. Like you can have a Rav who has an interesting Pshat because he has the idea, he knows otherwise they're being a Sefer Torah where, from a place where there's no Eruv, instead of rather than doing that, a person should continue learning with the Sefer Torah Apostle, Simchon the Rambam. And we also spoke about this important halacha, making sure when one washes, one has a kazayis, make sure the food is patterned, avoid all brachas issues and the chatchila, not even to talk before eating a kazayis pas. And by doing this, everything we will do will be absolutely right. Thank you very much for organizing it. I wish you a good day.
Presume you meant Zayas started to eat some Chayachinas cross.
Yes.
So say you have a bit there, a bit there.
That's right.
How much would you say?